Welcome to any visitors among us. We wish you God's blessing. A couple of little announcements first. Don't forget, next Sunday is the church picnic. It's at the usual place. If it rains, I'm assuming we'll be back here. I did check the forecast. We should be fine. It will be a little bit cool. I will not be wearing my yellow Hawaiian shirt next week then. Sorry. It will be sometime through the summer. And Pastor Tim is here. He has already started working for us. We welcome him today officially. We look forward to journeying with you as we go through God's plan for us. So are you redoing what you just did up top there? Because there is that the music video. Well, you were just playing the rewind. Please and thank you.
Amen. Morning.
Morning.
I believe, and the congregation says,
Amen.
Thank you. Warm welcome to each and every one of you this morning. Today, the call to worship reading is Psalm 8, and I invite all of you to read along with me, if you will. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Thank you. Ladies, if you wouldn't mind.
Good morning. As we see the leaves come out of the trees and we've planted our flowers and our gardens, it's a refreshing feeling. And I feel that spirit in here with Tim here. And I'm not sure if his family is. Where is Tim? No, he's out there. Okay. Hi, Tim. Welcome. It's just a refreshing feeling inside as well. Please join us to sing the next two songs, O Lord, our Lord, and Great is the Lord. Please stand.
Thank you, ladies, for serving us with song. I'd ask each and every one of us, if we could, to pray together. Please bow your heads. O Lord our God, you are worthy of all our praise. You are the God who never fails to keep his promises. We thank you that in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we see your love, justice, mercy, provision, and victory. You are the God who lifts up those who are weighed down. You are the God who provides for your children. Our desire is to praise you as long as we live. Inhabit our praises as we gather here today. Through our Lord Savior's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
You can remain seated to sing the next song, which you might not know the words, but you'll know the tune. Be careful, because the men are going to be singing one verse and the women are going to be singing another, so just watch the screen. Up, we've got a story. Good morning, everyone. It's so nice to see you all. I am really interested today in the message that Paul is going to be bringing to us, Brother Paul. He's going to be talking about faith. And I'm wondering, do we know, what does faith mean? What do you think? We hear that word a lot, right, at church. What do you think, Veronica? That's a tough one. Did you have an idea? No? When people say faith, do you sometimes think of like believing? Does that make sense? Or when people say trust me, have faith in me, right? So, and sometimes it might mean hope too. Like we have faith that things are going to turn out okay. I hope things will turn out okay. We use those words, we toss them around like they're all kind of the same. Hope and believe and trust and faith are the same. But today we're going to be talking about the biggest, best faith of all, that faith that Jesus died, he rose and he was resurrected and he's gone to heaven, and that we all, we can have forgiveness and we can have a place with him as well. And to help us all understand, what's the difference between like when someone says, hey, trust me, I know I did a bad thing, but I'm not going to do it again. Or believe me when I tell you, this is that frying pan is going to last for your whole lifetime, a guarantee. What is the difference between people's promises and the world's things, the things that the world tells us, and heavenly faith? So I brought along glass, and some water. And we're just going to fill the cup. There we go. And we've got some water in that. Now, if I said, hey, Emily, come on over here. I'm going to put this cup of water over your head and tip it. Trust me. I'm not going to get you wet. Do you believe me? No, she is super smart. She does not believe me for 1 second. And you know what? Because that doesn't seem likely and it doesn't seem possible. It seems impossible, right? Now, if I said, I'm going to cover it with a piece of paper. So trust me. It's not going to get you wet. Do you believe me? Now she's thinking Mrs. Friesen has something going on now, right? You want to come try? You don't have to give me your head. Give me your hand. Come over here and let's put your hand. I'm still, you know, it's the earth. Things happen. Come to this side, sweetheart. All right, I'm going to put this piece of paper over the cup. I'm going to tip it upside down. Emily's going to put it, oh, we have a pan here, just so that the congregation knows we're being cautious, just in case. Let's see what happens. What do you think? Is it going to work? Thumbs up if you think it's going to work. Thumbs down if you think her hand is getting wet. All right, let's see. Here we go. Tipping it upside down. Holding it. And holding it way high. It worked. Oh, my goodness. What do you think? Why do you think that did work? Did I use pressure? Callan is saying. Good guess. What do you think? Anybody else? Magic piece of paper? No? Ordinary piece of cardboard? Regular piece of paper? Right? Do you know what we can say? It was the paper. It was the paper that did it. You can sit down, sweetheart. But it's not the paper that did it. There is something else that was holding that card onto the cup and keeping the water inside. So super smart, Callan. You're right. Air! All around us! So much air, invisible to the eye, but the air was holding the card on. And it's an amazing thing to see the air, the thing we don't see, was actually holding water and keeping Emily's hand dry and would have kept her head dry. I would have never made her wet. And we all have it's an amazing thing that we say, wow, I can't believe it. I can't believe that that happened. Now, faith in God is like that. Earthly things, like this piece of paper, I got to tell you something. If we would have held it there for a very long time, eventually it would have soaked through and it would have fallen and the water would have been everywhere. This only lasts for a little while. But the air that's around us, that's going to always be here. Kind of like our belief and our faith in God. That's the forever faith. People can say, trust me, believe in me. But people aren't always going to follow through with their word. God always does. And we can be so grateful and we can always rely on him and the promises in the Bible. That's a big, big faith, isn't it? Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, thank you so much for being bigger, more amazing, more awesome than we can even imagine. Your amazing miracle of sending your son Jesus to the earth and raising him from the dead, it's just the most awesome thing, and we are so grateful to you for it. Help us to have lots and lots of faith in you and in the path you have made for us. Amen.
Good morning. So I'm thrilled to be up here sharing with you this morning about a really exciting trip I'm going to be going on this summer to IFES World Assembly in Jakarta, Indonesia. Before I tell you about the trip, let me give you some background on what has led me here. So for the past 2 years, I've been a part of the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship Group at Brock University. InterVarsity is a Christian organization that plants campus ministries at universities in countries all around the world. And at Brock, our InterVarsity group has been a space for me to gather with other Christians on campus, to worship, to study the Bible, and just be in community with other believers at school. And this past year, I joined the Brock InterVarsity leadership team and participated in outreach events and regular leadership meetings that involved prayer and planning for the larger group. So InterVarsity's global parent organization, which is the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students, or IFES, holds a worldwide conference every 4 years. And as an InterVarsity leader at Brock, I've been fortunate to have been nominated to attend this year as a Canadian delegate. This year's World Assembly is being held in Indonesia with the theme of Witnesses for Christ in the University and Beyond.
The conference is going to include biblical teaching sessions, small groups, worship, and a variety of workshops. It will also be an opportunity to meet Christian students from all around the world and share stories of what God has been doing in our universities. The conference runs from August 2nd to 10th this summer, and there's a student gathering that starts on July 31st. So I truly believe that this trip will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me to participate in God's global mission, and I know that what I see and learn on this trip is going to have such a significant impact on my life as a follower of Jesus. But a trip like this, of course, does not come without barriers, so I am incredibly grateful to both Church Council and to the Home Mission Circle Group for their donations of $1,000 each. Just overwhelmed by the support that I've already received from my church family, and would also greatly appreciate prayerful support from each of you as I prepare and travel to World Assembly, as I'm trusting in God to help everything come together for this trip. I have already received such incredibly generous donations from our church, and I'll be doing further fundraising through InterVarsity. As you can see on the slide, this is a costly trip. The expenses will total around $6,000 altogether. So for those who are interested in supporting me, further donations can be made toward my conference fees and my travel expenses. This is done through donations to InterVarsity, either by mail or online. The details are in the bulletin in the purple insert. And since InterVarsity is a registered charity, donations are tax deductible. So I thank you for your consideration in supporting me and this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be a part of the work that God is doing in my generation all around the world. And I greatly appreciate your prayerful support and look forward to sharing more about my trip when I return. So thank you.
We sometimes like to say, from glory to glory, he's changing me. And I'm convinced, Aaron, that this experience will continue to change you into the image of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The pastoral prayer, we miss Pastor Randy this morning, but we do pray for his speedy recovery. As I was getting word Thursday of Pastor Randy's coming home and then finding himself with the COVID, I was reflecting over a reading from Our Daily Bread. And I know many of you pick up your copies of the Daily Bread at the back. And just before we go to pastoral prayer, this came towards the end of the month of May. It was actually on Wednesday. So I read this Wednesday morning. And then I reflected over all that is happening in the life of our congregation. And you let me know if you think it might be appropriate. From the book of Ezra, we read these words. No one could distinguish between the sound of the shouts of joy from the sounds of weeping. Ezra 3, verse 13. This passage, it describes God's people returning to Jerusalem after the Babylonians had destroyed their holy place, the temple. And then they were deported from their beloved city of Jerusalem. And as Ezra watched the temple being rebuilt, he heard joyful praises to God. But he also listened to the weeping of those who remembered life before the exile. In your bulletin, you realize that we're also grieving alongside Jake and Helga Bergen at the passing of Jake's older brother, Peter. But the joy of a life well lived. We also experienced today the ending of 78 years of German worship services, knowing that the German language is the language of the soul. It's the song of the soul. And so while we rejoice, there is also some sadness. Our joy at God's leading in our church life, as we have welcomed Pastor Tim unofficially to begin his ministry amongst us, to be our lead pastor. But as we prayed last Sunday, also acknowledging the sadness at Summit Street, Nebraska Church as they mourn the leaving of their pastor, Pastor Tim. Did I just say the passing of? He's very much alive back there. I can see him. Our thankfulness to God for Pastor Randy's vacation break that he had on the West Coast, but sadness, knowing that as he enters his final month of ministry with us, it begins with him experiencing COVID again. So yes, it's possible to sing praises, but also to express sorrow and sadness. Will you join me in prayer? Though tears may last for a season, we know that joy comes in the morning. All creation sings forth the praise of our Creator God. And as men and women of Holy Scripture, we understand, as Marian shared with the children, the marvelous gift of faith to believe in the resurrection. And because He lives, we shall live also. Yes, we do sorrow. We do grieve. But we also celebrate and we give thanks for your leading amongst us as a congregation. We pray for Pastor Randy as he seeks to recover from COVID during these days. We know that his heart is with us right here. And so we pray for his recovery. And we pray for Pastor Tim as family would go through that time of adjustments, so many adjustments, that you would buoy him up and give him strength as he seeks to labor amongst us. For men and women who have labored amongst us, volunteering, serving as caregivers, as support workers, as visitors, we thank you for them and pray that their number may increase. We thank you for students and those who graduate. We pray expectantly as we listen to Aaron describe the wonderful opportunity that is before him. Increase his faith. Increase his stature as a Christian man. And God, what we pray for Aaron, we pray for our own sons and daughters and grandchildren. For those who volunteer amongst us serving with the Vacation Bible Camp, our children's ministry, our youth ministries, we give you thanks. And may the language of heaven, whether it be German, whether it be English, or a combination of so many languages, may we fill our hearts with praise and with joy at your leading in the life of this congregation. For troubled spots around the world, oh God, we hold them in our hearts and in our prayers, that there might be peace in these troubled lands, and that there might be amongst these troubled spots caregivers and those who seek peace. For those who serve amongst us, we give you thanks. For the reading of the Holy Scriptures, whether it be in German or whether it be in English, we give you thanks. May the meditations that are upon our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For those who financially are able to support the work of the gospel witness in St. Catherine's North, we pray, may your blessing be upon the offerings as they have been received, as we have set aside our tithes and our offerings. To your honor and to your glory, may the extension of the kingdom of God take place amongst us in this place. In the name of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let us listen to the reading of Holy Scripture. Ingrid.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from John 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out to your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
May God speak into our hearts and in our minds through the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Special thanks to worship leaders, Doug and Renee, and to those who have put together such a wonderful blending of music and video. The Brian Dirksen video that we viewed this morning. I know we throw a lot at our audiovisual guys, and we so appreciate their pulling it off and bringing things together, and the selection of songs that has been chosen for today's service. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments on our experience of the resurrected Christ. You see, because today, in many ways, marks the first Sunday after Pentecost. Easter and our resurrection themes are now beginning to fade in our memory banks. How are you feeling about that? The celebration of Easter. The celebration of Pentecost. Oh, I know we all celebrate Easter and all of the goodies that come with that. I'm not asking you if you've demolished all of your Easter treats, but I am asking you a more serious question. How are you feeling? How are you living the truth that the resurrected Christ has touched and changed your life? You see, do you view the resurrection and our celebration of the truth of the resurrection in the same way that we celebrate Canada Day or Labor Day or Thanksgiving Day? It's to be celebrated at Easter and then we set it aside. Have you put the resurrection of Jesus back in the holiday box as you would with the seasonal decorations for other special days? Is the resurrection of Jesus viewed just as you would view the stories surrounding great heroes, whether it be in Canadian, American, or European history? Figures from human history that lived, spent their lives, had an impact, then died like every other member of the human race. Today's theme, believing and experiencing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How does that grab you? Please understand that there are many, many today who believe in God. They use the God language. And they will say that they believe in Jesus. But not in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. Many today believe in God as a higher power or a presence, and that Jesus was a good moral teacher, but not in his divine resurrection and his ascension into glory. Many in our schools of higher learning, whether they be in secular or, tragically, even in our theological institutions, they may claim, many people, many leaders, many academics may claim to be spiritual and talk about the God essence and talk about the moral teaching of Jesus. My goodness, even Gandhi, the Hindu, shaped the non-violent movement because of his understanding of Jesus' moral teachings. I would like to invite each one here today who says they believe in this amazing gospel story of Jesus and the resurrection. I'd like to ask you one simple question. How does the resurrection of Jesus Christ touch your life today? How does the resurrection of Jesus Christ touch your everyday experience as a human being? For you see, many of us have been followers of Jesus Christ, followers of the way, in some form or another, for a long time. Do you remember the first time that you heard that simple gospel story? Maybe you were a child, or maybe you were a young adult. Did it grip you? Did it lead you eventually to embrace the message of salvation? Yes, it did, you say. Perhaps you must admit that the resurrected Christ and his presence today doesn't really touch you today and give you an energy and give you a direction. From our reading today that Ingrid shared with us, the gospel narrative, we get a glimpse. As you read through the gospel stories, you get a glimpse of many of the situations where Jesus appeared. He appeared following his resurrection to Mary. To Mary at the tomb, to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, to the disciples in the upper room, to Peter. It's interesting that even upon seeing the empty tomb, we're told in John 20 and verse 9, they still did not understand the scripture which said he must rise from the dead. Our own growth in the spiritual life, like growth in any area, is the work of years. It doesn't happen overnight. A few weeks ago, in just after Easter Sunday, April the 16th, I preached a sermon from 1 Corinthians 15. I preached on what we entitled it, Resurrection Guarantees. It's because of the resurrection. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we are forgiven of our sins, that our faith is well grounded. What the apostles preach is true. We who believe are to be envied by the world. We are no longer bound by sin. And we shall live forever with joy in God's heaven. And all God's people said. I marvel at how John, the beloved apostle, experienced the resurrected and glorified Christ on that little Greek island of Patmos. He is the disciple whom Jesus loved and indeed entrusted his mother from the cross to John's care and provision. John the Apostle was a tremendous encourager of the early church through all of the persecutions, all of the martyrdoms of those early disciples. He literally, John, was the last man standing amongst the apostles. He, we believe, traveled extensively throughout Asia Minor, visiting all of those churches that are referred to in the book of the Revelation. John visited them. He understood the character of those churches. John was, we believe, banished to that barren island of Patmos toward the end of the first century A.D., and it was here that he received and wrote that God-inspired book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Here is John now, an old man, and all of his friends, the fellow apostles of the gospel of Jesus. Here is John, and he's given by the resurrected Jesus Christ, he's given a mandate to record a message for the churches, not only of Asia Minor, but thanks be to God, a message for us today. What happened when John was introduced to a vision of the resurrected, glorified Christ? An entire generation since he walked the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And we get a glimpse, a marvelous, Holy Spirit-inspired glimpse of what John witnessed on the Isle of Patmos. We read from Revelation chapter 1, selected verses. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from the sins, our sins, by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And then we skip down to verse 7. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. The resurrected, glorified Christ. John has a vision of this. He continues and writes these words, given to him by holy inspiration, by the presence of the resurrected Jesus. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and your companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that is ours in Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's Day, Sunday morning, Resurrection Day, the Apostle John writes these words. On the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place. Oh, he touched him, the living one, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the resurrected Jesus Christ. Oh, he touched him. And John wrote, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Thus endeth the reading from Revelation chapter 1. Like most other people, if you read through your stories in the Holy Scriptures, who had such visions, whether it be Isaiah, whether it be Ezekiel, Daniel, John, the beloved apostle, was terrified when he sensed he was in the presence of the resurrected Christ. What happens in your life when you find yourself surrounded by that holiness of the Spirit of God, knowing that the resurrected, glorified Christ who dwells within, and the Spirit of Christ who is with us? When you find yourself in the Spirit, when you find yourself so filled with the Spirit of God, and you are in the Word, you are reading the Word, you're in church and you're worshiping in song, whether it be in German or in English, whether you're in God's cathedral of creation itself, is there a holy hush? Are you humbled at the very presence of your Creator, of the Spirit of Jesus? The Apostle John is so disturbed when he encounters the risen Christ that he totally loses it. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's okay for you to lose it too. When you are caught up in the Spirit of God, when you are embraced with the scent and the smell and the sound of God's creation, when the Word of God leaps off the page and you are embraced by the truth of Holy Scripture. If I could paraphrase the Apostle John at that moment, it's like, okay, God, you've got my attention. And when we encounter and experience the resurrected Christ, and he has challenged us, we can say the same thing. As the word leaps off the page, as those sacred songs that we sing find a resting place in your heart, in your mind. Okay, God, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. The text that we read earlier, then he placed his right hand on him. Isn't that one of the most precious phrases in Holy Scripture? The Apostle John, abandoned on this little island called Patmos, caught up in the Spirit, but he is not alone. That little cave that was his home became a holy cathedral. Then he placed his right hand on me. John was revived by that glowing vision of Christ who touched him, identified himself with several meaningful descriptions. One of the most amazing things about the earthly life of our Savior was that he mingled amongst the people and freely touched them, even though they might be diseased, even though they might be sinful. He touched John with the same hand that was holding the seven stars. The right hand of any dignitary is considered a place of honor. Just a touch by Jesus was all John needed to go on. It's a sensation that Christians of all ages have experienced when they need it most. During times of grief, during times of uncertainty, during times when you needed to experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. I know that something happened. And now I know he has made me whole. He has given me peace. He's given me direction. He's giving me some sense of this is the way. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. How has the touch of Jesus mingled with your life? The sight of a star-filled sky, the smell of the spring flowers and their scent, the sampling of that first fresh vegetable from the garden, whether it be asparagus or rhubarb. Is rhubarb a fruit or a vegetable? At the same time, Jesus told John, don't be afraid. Fear is a natural, it's a natural spiritual instinct. It's one of the most negative and uncomfortable feelings. It's something that is really, we have a hard time dealing with. Most notably is the fear of the Lord, which the book of Proverbs calls the beginning of wisdom. When you open the scriptures, when you open your hymnal, when you open yourself to the beauty of God's creation, there is a sense of our finiteness, our smallness, and the God who says, do not be afraid. It amazes me that I still need to be reassured by the Lord Jesus, even as John did. Be not afraid. I need to hear those words in my own soul, in my own life. I am with you. The resurrected Christ is with you. Life's going to throw many curves our way, and we grapple with an endless list of concerns, whether they are personal issues, health issues, welfare to the community, world issues. Life's many challenges often does overwhelm us. God reminded Joshua that he could be strong and courageous because he was with him. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Moses, my servant, his time is over. Joshua, rise up and lead the people of Israel. Moses' successor was John. And as a congregation this morning, as we anticipate during the weeks and months to come, we give thanks to God for pastoral leadership over the decades within this congregation. But now is the time for us as a congregation to be not afraid, to move into that unknown with our new pastor, Pastor Tim Amor. Consider Jeremiah. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said, I have put my words in your mouth. Consider the prophet Daniel, chapter 8, verse 18. While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Then he touched me and he raised me to my feet. And again in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 10, his hand touched me and he set me trembling on my hands and knees. I know for many of us, getting down on our hands and knees for prayer time isn't maybe our custom these days. But picture yourself, if your legs are shaking, fall down to your knees and say, God, help me. Wonderful things happen when we get alone with God. Wonderful things happen when people get in touch with the spirit of the resurrected Christ. Jacob was alone with God when he saw Jehovah at Bethel. Moses was alone with God when he heard the call at the burning bush. Elijah was alone with God when he heard the still small voice on Mount Horeb. Ezekiel was alone with God when he saw the likeness of the glory of the Lord by the river Chebar. And John was alone with God when he saw this great portrait of the risen Christ on the Isle of Patmos. There's a great need today for us individually to be shut in with God, as John was, in order that God might communicate himself to us as he did to John. So here we have John, an older man, being granted a fresh touch from God. I speak to men and women this morning of all ages. Do you need a fresh touch from the Spirit of God? Who here needs to be reminded of the voice of the resurrected Christ? Oh, we have men and women who serve amongst us in gift discernment, in seeking people, nominations for different committees and serving, and we get shoulder tapped all the time. I don't want any of you, including myself, to say to Pastor Tim sometime, I'm sorry, I'm just too old. Let me quickly remind you of these simple practices whereby Christ communicates and relates himself to you, as he did to John. Old John on the Isle of Patmos. Through scriptures, read with the mind, the heart, and God's Spirit giving understanding. Silence, focus, meditate, contemplate, and in subtle ways, look and listen with the eyes and ears of the heart. We may never literally be in exile, as John was, but we can shut ourselves in with God by living in that Spirit-encased area. If we dare to be alone with God, he will communicate himself to us, through us, to others. Yes, let's humble ourselves before the resurrected Christ and allow the divine touch to move us forward. In quietness, in prayer, let us listen as John Dirksen and Nettie Penner sings to us that lovely duet. And that would be followed by our Pastor Tim leading us in benediction.
Peace, friends. It's good to be here with you today. It's good to be back home as well. Out of the exile of the Midwest of the United States, I now... This isn't broadcast, is it? That's the... My family is not here with me today. We have made the move so far to Buffalo, New York area. We'll stay with my mother-in-law for about a month until she directs us to leave, in which we hope to be able to move here to St. Catharines as we have purchased a home. But your prayers and your thoughts and everything have just been well received, and we appreciate them greatly. I invite you now to stand as you're able and receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the breath of God touch your heart and the fire of the Holy Spirit burn so much that you experience the love of God and it spill over to each person you meet this week. Go in God's peace. Amen.